Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
My name is Lee Wanika, and this is Tabletop Journeys. We are here today for another episode of Star Trek Preservations, Quick Treks. Today, we are going to be joined by one of our cast members to go through some personal stuff for the character and have some fun in all kinds of Star Trek-y space shenanigans. That said, I would like to welcome that cast member to the show today, and I will do so by having them say who they are.
Oh, hello. I'm David Rideout. I play the chief engineer, Ovidian Tanari. And I think from here on out, when I call the captain, I'm going to be doing so by saying Mork to Orson.
Absolutely. Nanu, Nanu. We talked earlier about dating ourselves, and this is one of those times where we're definitely doing that. But without further ado, we are going to get right into the episode. For those who are new to the show, Quick Treks are brief glimpses into important things that happen for the characters, but are not necessarily part of those main episodes. Frequently, they are used to fill in the gaps between episode, the weeks or months between one episode and another, and this is one of those incidences. Damon's log. Stardate 58941.24. My eccentric yet business savvy uncle died. My cousin Jokrin inherited their dilithium mine, which left me with a meager 25% stake. Uncle Selknick always preferred Jokrin. Maybe I should have laughed at his jokes a little bit more when we were children. At any rate, Jokrin wants my help in upgrading the mine to Federation standards. Jokrin reached a pretty good deal. An agreement with Starfleet. Provided, of course, that the basic criteria is met by the time of their first inspection. Jokrin's about 2 weeks away from that inspection, and it's not going well. Jokrin may have the lobes for business, but he has Frel for hiring good engineers. I think he's got a bunch of wannabe low-rent yokels, to use the human phrase, that went to some pop-up mall-style tech school licensed to Grand Bagus. Rom. These fools think they got trained by Rom himself. Not so much. They are not very good at their jobs. The fact is, we're running out of time to get this deal closed. But I have a plan. So here I am in my shuttle, my brand new warp shuttle, traveling with my dear friend, Lieutenant Tanari of the Delamis Christian, bringing a supply of alluvian separators, titanium roof bolters, magnetic drag lines, and all sorts of other neat dips and doodads. All this so Jokrin has all the right equipment. And I'm hoping Tanari's not going to let these fools try to put that stuff together. At least not without a little instruction. Like I said, Brazig always has a plan. With that, Lieutenant Tenari, you find yourself on the flight deck portion of a Class 2 shuttle. It's warp capable, but it is designed as a freight hauler. So while it is it is significantly physically larger than a standard Class 2 shuttle, that is because the actual crew spaces are equal that, but it is set up with a large cargo container in the middle. So you have a fore and an aft section, a drive section and a crew cabin aft section, and then a small hallway that goes up and over the container. And it literally locks into a space where the freight container. So it looks, and I'm going to put it on camera for you, like that. Now, these are the same size containers that fit in most of Brazig's fleet, but this is a brand new ship. It is a 2 nacelle, but it has very powerful impulse engines. It has both tractor beams and grapples, and it does have some limited defenses from what you can see externally. But obviously, it's a merchantman type ship, so it's not, and it's a shuttle, so it's not designed for battle. So you find yourself in the ship. It's relatively well apportioned. It's brand new, not a lot of wear and tear, and it looks like it's in pretty good working order. You are actually you were originally on Solon 4, completing shortened leave. When you were getting ready to head back, Brazig asked if you would use some of your leave time to help him. He's got something that's kind of on the way, but he should still be able to get you back to Aslan Station in plenty of time, and wanted to know if you would go, to which you agreed. And the first couple days of the trip have been pretty low-key, not a whole lot of talk. You know he does have a load of stuff in the container, but for the most part, it's just been two friends talking about stuff and catching up because it's been a busy year. I will turn it over to you. Brazig's flying and he's snacking on some two grubs, and which are fresh because he prefers those. But there is a replicator for you if there's anything you wanted to prepare.
All right. Tenari, like most engineers, is probably catching up on a tech journal. Probably has his feet up on a console, leaning back, reading. Looks over at Brazig at one point and says, "Remember that when all this is over, you did promise to show me that one trick in Dabo, right?"
"Oh, of course. But I gotta be honest with you. That one trick in Dabo, it only works at certain locations. But I'll tell you how to pick those out. If you see on the right leg a green serial number box with the code 1448, then you know it's made by one specific company. This particular company builds all their Dabo wheels pretty much the same way. They claim they vary things because most things vary. But every 14th spin, it will always land on..." There's an interruption and a communication is coming over. And Brazig says, "One second." He puts it on screen. You see another Ferengi. A bit younger than Brazig, but has a bit of a similar look. You almost would think that they might be family. This particular friend, he says, "Brazig! Who's your friend? Nice antenna, by the way." Brazig says, "I don't think you're supposed to comment on how nice somebody's antenna are. That's personal."
"It's not a problem. We're rather proud of our antenna."
"Excellent. So for you, antenna are like our lobes." "Excellent. Excellent. I'll be sure to let..." "No, never mind. That's a whole nother discussion. We're going to keep this conversation on topic. Jokrin, we've got the stuff. We're on our way. This is my friend Tenari." "Oh, this is the Tenari." "You mean the one that..." "Oh. Thank you so very much for helping us. I can't tell you how thankful I am that you've agreed." Brazig puts his hand to his head and says, "Jokrin, I hadn't told him yet.
Oops." I look over at Brazig.
"Okay, Tenari. I really did want to hang and chat and have some fun, but Jokrin's got a problem. He's got to get some things taken care of in a very short time frame, and he doesn't have the personnel to do it. And he asked me for help. Now, normally, I'd probably let him twist a bit. But I do have a 25% stake. So, even though it's kind of weird for me to ask you to help somebody else, I'm really kind of asking you to help me. And it has the added benefit of possibly helping the region.
Okay.
So what do you say? Lend a hand?
I could be talked into it. I am running low on Andorian ale on the DC.
Brazig presses a button and a little compartment opens up, and not steam, but it vents. That cool frost mist comes out, and a panel slides, and there's three bottles of Andorian ale, and you can see the label on them. They're from a very peak vintage and manufacturer. And this is not the kind of stuff that gets replicated. This is legit. This is probably got a good 13 years on it. So this is pretty good. And then but you also notice there's a 13, there's a 30-year-old, and then there's an 80-year-old there as well. And it gets progressively better. You can see that this tray goes fairly deep into the unit, and you can see that there's more behind that. He goes, are we thinking 13 year?
How far behind is he?
Joker says, I'm not that far behind. And then you think back to the stock, that the manifest. Mm-hmm. Because the way I figured is Starfleet officer will get on just about any ship, even if it's a friend. But if it's a freighter hauling something, they don't necessarily want to get roped into something that they're not supposed to. So you would obviously, and even though Brazig's not totally scandalous in that regard, you probably have wanted to look at the manifest. So you are aware of the equipment that is being hauled. So I would let you look at knowing the volume of the various items and the fact that you know that there are the alluvial separators, the titanium roof bolters, magnetic drag lines. I would definitely say this is a moment where you could make a pretty basic engineering roll to determine with that volume of things, if they are all being used versus some are going to stock, how bad the situation is likely to meet a general Federation standard for mines.
So basically just like a reason engineering roll?
Yeah. Difficulty is only going to be a 1. No particular complication range at this stage, but I will say that using the second edition rules, Brazig enters with his own momentum pool, but because he is considered an ally for the purposes of this adventure, at 2 threat per allied individual, that is 4 threat on the deck.
All right. Then I will go ahead and use procedural compliance to get that, drop the one dice for an automatic success, and I'll roll the other one.
Sounds good.
And that's a 3, so that's 1 success. Excellent. So I've got a total of 2.
All right. With that expenditure, are there any additional benefits?
Nope, because I didn't spend threats. My species ability doesn't kick in.
All right. So you have, it was a 1, you have a total of 3, is that correct?
Total of 2 successes.
2 successes, okay. And then in that case, you have 1 momentum now. Basically, they're pretty bad off. It's not impossible, and it's not difficult. If you heard them talk about 2 weeks before the inspection. It could be done. As long as he's got a team that has basic skills, you should be able to get them to do it within the time frame, but within the time frame, it would probably be a 3 or 4 difficulty, somewhere in that range. You can certainly fine tune that as you get there and see some specifics. That said, I will let you know, actually, it would be a 3. However, I will let you know there is a trait involved with that process. That team is really underskilled, and they will require supervision. So that
like,
is
kind of like trait green crew.
Yes. I would actually say trait should not have graduated with the certificate.
crew.
But they mean, but sometimes they can't tell a Phillips head from a flathead screwdriver. They leaving things where they're not supposed to be, forgetting to put the cap back on the oil receptacle, that type of thing. They've got issues. You can manage them, get the work done, and double check it to make sure everything's safe before things get turned on, but they do add a difficulty. That's a factor of one. So any engineering challenge that is involving that team, so if you're doing a knowledge-based thing, no difficulty. But anything when it comes to physically implementing work, unless you are doing it exclusively and alone by yourself, basically anytime that mining station assists, there's going to be an increase of the difficulty by one.
What I will do is go to one of the consoles in the ship, call up the inventory, look over it a little bit, look up at Brazik, look back at it, kind of look up at Brazik again, go over it.
And he smiles a big toothy Ferengi grin.
Kind of look over it again, look up at him.
And he smiles a little less, but he has those pleading Ferengi eyes.
I said, just looking at what you've got here, it looks a little more than a 13.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to go at least as far as a 30.
Look over it again. Kind of look a little worried going over it. Look up at him again and say, what's 30 plus 13?
Look, if I have to go with a 50, you can't get the whole lot. I'll go a 50.
I think maybe the 30 plus the 13.
I don't know if I can do that. Tell you what, I'll give you half a lot of the 50.
I think I could do that.
Excellent. And that's when you realize he was not going to give you a single bottle. He was actually going to give you a lot, which would be 4 cases of that. And so you now will, upon successful completion, you will have half a lot or two cases of 50-year ale. To those who deal in cash versus the post-scarcity Federation, that's a pretty expensive deal. And it's pretty clear, just based on your knowledge of Brazik, that you're probably only doing about a 30, but Brazig's basically marking the premium of, I tricked you into this, and we're friends. So he is giving you a Federation-style friend and family discount. With that, Jokrin says, yay! Excellent! We will roll out the green carpet. Not really. That's still in storage. But
tell you what, send over here the files as to how far you're doing, how far along you are, how things are going, the real files, nothing gussied up. And let me take a look so I can start planning.
Sounds good. He sends over, he transmits, he goes, I've got to go put out a fire. Not literally. Brazik looks at him, he looks back, maybe a little literally. Gotta go, bye. And he's out. You do get the files, including the actual documents. There's also the initial documents that were sent to the Federation, so you can see where he was slow rolling the amount of work that needed to be done to keep them interested. But the one thing he was very accurate about and got all the science right on, as far as, because he has good scientists as far as their knowledge of what's going on and mine operations. He's got people that can work the mine, but actually getting things, fixing, doing the engineering, for whatever reason, he thought of operational staff, not maintenance and construction staff. It's an old mine that had been disused, but this particular mine is in the Grazar sector of space, and which is not far, mostly en route. If you have your 2E core rule map handy, the Grazar sector is the sector directly beneath the Talarian Republic, so it's galactically east of the Megara sector, which is where Aslan Station is.
Okay.
And kind of northeast, galactically speaking, of Ilaria. So close to home. So you're not, you're at maximum warp in a runabout style shuttle, of which you're in, you're probably about a week away from home.
Okay.
At any point in time during this mission. So you're never too far. And within hours of any kind of true assistance.
It's also understood in the 50 year that the Federation doesn't need to hear about any of these problems.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like I said, he marked the premiums without marking the premiums. Effectively, you can tell that there are a number of things that need to be done. Specifically, the bolters are basically locking down things that would rumble loose or might not function under certain normal operations. Separators are basically replacing things. The magnetic drive lines are replacing things that are worn out. It's basically upgrading key infrastructure that has just deteriorated. The station could probably work, but that's where the Federation standard thing is. The fact that it would work and it would not be safe is the problem. So they're basically trying to get this to safety standard so people don't get hurt.
This is definitely not the first mine Tanari's worked in. So this is what he grew up doing.
It is a dilithium mine, and the science does indicate this is a very rich, rich station. This is the mine station itself. It is not the processing. There's also information that Brazig's way station in the new Zindi system, actually they are constructing or processing for some of the things that they have there. His 25% and his freight haulers, he's hoping to be the exclusive to move this to and from, and with the deals he has with the Zindi, the deals he already has with Aslan Station, this is just going to be yet another supply of precious resources. You also know that on New Zindi, that they are in the process of drawing up ship construction facilities.
Okay. Brazig, did you say that this mine had been abandoned previously?
Not so much abandoned, just not really well used. During the Dominion War, people didn't want to be this far out. The Talarians, still at the time, were still not being friendly, but folks were worried. Sona were the Sona, and they're a little too close for comfort, generally speaking. So being on a dilithium mine without defenses is a bad idea during wartime, where who knows might slide by just because they need what you've got.
Gotcha.
Or they're afraid that the Federation would want what they can't have, so they would destroy it. So it was shuttered so that nobody thought it was worthwhile to deal with.
Gotcha. I was wondering why something this rich had been shut down.
Until Aslan Station came by, we were on the back end of the Quadrant. Nobody really went this far. There's the Talarians and the Talosians. Who needs to go this far? But with Aslan Station out here now, people are paying more attention. Unaffiliated spaces never last long in a vacuum.
So it's finally opening up because you've got a market.
That's the plan.
All right, let me get to work so I've got some kind of plan by the time we get there. We can hit the ground running.
Excellent. So at this point, I'm going to handle this more like a series of gated challenges more than anything else. Just for the planning purposes, like I said, this is exclusively you. Because there's a lot of things and you're looking at this without physical inspection, that provides a complication to the planning process. We're going to have an extended range. It's going to be 18, 19, or 20. And the difficulty would be a 3.
Okay. And so this is just planning everything, right?
Yep.
So that's reason engineering.
You got it.
All right. Then I will spend 1 momentum and 2 threat for 2 extra dice.
Okay. The momentum gets spent, bringing you to 0. Adding 2 threat brings you to 6. And go for it.
All right. And then procedural compliance, go ahead and get an automatic success. You said the complication range is 18 to 20, right?
Correct.
Let's see if I've got any focuses. Doesn't appear so. I have an automatic success, 2 sixes, and an 18. However, because of bold engineering, I spent threat, I get to reroll that, and I get a 19. It's good to know I'm on theme.
You're the bestest, Dave.
But I did total get 3 successes.
Okay.
Yep. Tanari is the game master's friend.
Okay, so you have the 3 successes you need. So the planning phase goes well enough, but there is a complication.
I do, however, have a bonus momentum because of intents.
Okay.
With that bonus momentum, I think I'd like to obtain information, see if I can find out of the crew that's there, which one of them, I suppose the best term would be are less incompetent than others. Which of them maybe have a glimmer of hope of talent?
Okay. They've got a pretty large crew here, because this is not a small mine, but basically among the, not even the foreman, but among the engineering section leaders, basically civilian versions of officers, managers, so to speak, you have 4 managers that are there. And they're all of about the same quality, except there is one that is absolutely substandard. Just by looking at the records you have in the work information, they were actually part of the shuttering team, and they were largely in charge of that. And a lot of the deterioration and the problems that you're reviewing are based on improper shutdown techniques. Like, there's issues with reactors and EPS conduit systems that are basically because the shutdown procedures didn't go correctly. They went cold because they ran dry, not because they had an adequate shutdown. Running dry does not cause these things to work well, and it leaves basically intakes and manifolds open to degradation from dust, dirt, particulate matter, ravages of exposed environments, because once they shuttered it, obviously you shut down all power, so there's no life support operating, all of those things. Now you've got parts that should have been sealed that were exposed to the lack of temperature, or in some cases, depending on if they were sunward, extreme temperatures, all of those things failed because of improper shutdown techniques. So you actually have identified the manager who was largely responsible for the problems you're experiencing. That manager's name is Duklok. D-U-K-L-O-K.
Okay. At least I know the person to avoid. All right. Also, any of the worker types show any sort of promise?
Yeah, most of them are hardworking and they would do more. Part of the problem is they were foolish and they got trained poorly. It's less about them not having requisite skill sets or base knowledges as much as it is their training was substandard. They went to a cheap place to get training and knowledge with the intent to be good at what they do, and they just didn't get that. In the Ferengi sense, they were smart enough to know what they needed, but they weren't smart enough to figure out the best place to get it. You know, sometimes you want to learn how to be a business person, and then sometimes you turn on a television station and you're fired. The way I would look at it is they went to a pop culture school of training.
Yeah, the wrong male correspondence course.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. When we get there, I want to have a plan set up. Preferably put Duklok in somewhere where he can do as least little harm as possible.
Sure. I would say as far as the plan, the easiest thing to do is put him and his teams on things like making sure hauling equipment works well. So they're not working on the station. They would be responsible for, and you can even set them on that task while you're en route. Basically, you need to make sure that all the equipment that will be used is working. So all of your spanners are working, all of your hauling vehicles are working, all of that stuff is going. And then your other teams can be working on other things like cleaning filters, and they can actually get started on that. As part of this process with your planning phase, I'm assuming as you're developing the plan, the things that need to be done before you get there, you're actually assigning that work ahead of time. They'll actually, when you get there, you'll be prepared to really jump in and then teach the other teams how to do the things that they will need to do to get it done in the right time frame.
I will also say, because Tanari is Federation, so something that would probably have a blind spot for are crews stealing equipment to sell on the black market. Quite honestly, that would probably not occur to him.
Yep. So, under Grand Nagus Rom, or culture is changing, and just like Brazig is a different kind of Ferengi than the ones that kind of introed at the beginning of DS9, his cousin is kind of in that halfway period, right? I would say Quark-like in that regard. Like, he'll think about doing some things, but he does on some level, though he's loathe to admit it, think about greater goods. Why would I do something that hurts my business later on? So, you know, Jorkin wouldn't want people to do that. So Jorkin will make sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen. Simply because he knows he needs to clear this deal with the Federation. He's not going to do anything to stop that deal from happening. And making sure nobody's running off with the best banner we've got in the building is part and parcel of that process. So you don't have a great worry about that unless there's a lot of complications. To wit, your complication in this case is you recognize when you're sending...
That was an idea of a complication to throw out there. That
oh, yeah. So actually what happened, the complication I kind of had in mind was that when you're sending it, the coding wasn't quite right. So what you send for instructions and what needs to be done is a bit in the clear.
Okay.
In other words, anybody who is around or so inclined, that can be picked up as chatter, like, hey, this place isn't quite finished. That said, the rest of your trip there goes fairly smoothly.
While we're on the way, I'll try to keep in touch with the mine, keep up with what's going on, send instructions back and forth, and enjoy the fact that I'm on a ship that's not watching me.
As you're going, Brazig will also share with you that he, in his travels, he's been doing a lot of hauling missions for ship parts and things like that, and he's also been asked to help ferry a lot of architects and designers, both architects for structures, both planet-side orbital structures, as well as both civilian and military side from various polities, all Federation friendly. But he notes to you that it's an uptick of that kind of travel in mass. He's aware that sometime next year there's actually going to be a symposium put on by Daystrom Institute, and that will be held on Io Station, Sol System, next year, where they're just collecting a lot of information. And he also notes that this buildup has really come at the cost of a lot of need for these new synth units that have been everywhere. There's just like a mass market for these things. A lot of resources putting these synth units in a number of places.
Style androids?
Yes. He mentions that the successes that the people of Solon have had with them have really illuminated many of the Federation nations and cultures' eyes to the ability to use non-sentient entities to really drive a higher level of production so they can handle issues and needs and emergencies. There's a buildup definitely going on. The negotiations have recently started. Knowledge is starting to filter out about the potential for a supernova explosion near the Romulan homeworld. And that's starting to go out. It's getting beyond, it's beyond Starfleet now, so the Federation knows. And so lots of people are building things. Some are building up capacity so they can assist. Some are building up capacity because now they can't get their own. He basically says that we are, actually, I'll just give you the quote. For a place that's in a post-scarcity environment, there's a lot of scarcity. Makes me kind of nervous. With that, we're going to close this scene and move into the next one. And we open with coming up to the mining platform on this Toid. It's not tiny. It's actually fairly large. It's definitely smaller than Earth's moon, but big. It is massive.
Big enough to be round on its own?
Yes. It is rounded. The surface is pockmarked. It does not have an atmosphere in and of itself. But you do know that there are several domes, and there are several domes that are non-functional. You can see damage to them when it was powered down. A lot of the observational domes and things like that were just destroyed by meteor strikes and just wear and tear over an 8-year period. Things just weren't cared for. But the primary mining facility is protected and in good shape. But as you're coming up, is there anything you want to do as you're coming in for a landing?
Not particularly.
Okay. As you land, you notice that there are, when you come in, doors open, you're going inside the rock face of the station, and as you're coming to a land on the landing pad, you notice that there are yellow emergency lights flashing as though there's an issue.
Look over, Brazig. You have any idea what's going on?
Nope. Chokrin, what's happening? He's signaling. Chokrin says, you remember that little fire I had to put out? Yes. It kind of wasn't so little. Well, it's out, but we're having some issues with some of the primary areas of breach. The structure's briefed in a couple of key sections, and we have a few of the domes of breach, and we have some folks that are trapped. About half of our engineering teams are kind of locked in at this point, and we can't get them.
Look over at Brazik. Say, you have a transporter on this thing, right?
Oh, yes.
Think we can maneuver over there and beam them out? Or is there something that interferes with transporters?
We should be, unless I've got good transporters. Why don't you run some scans and see if we can... I'll get us in the right location. You run some scans and see if that's an option.
Well, gotcha. So that will probably be, what, reason science?
Yep.
All right. Actually, because it's emergency, could I get daring science?
Absolutely.
All right. Difficulty what?
Difficulty for this is going to be a 2 because basically, one, it's a structure breach, and two, it is just you're scanning for that, and just the circumstances involved with it being a bit in a weird spot, and basically, you're going to gather through this process that while you were given 90% of the information about the station, there are a few details that were not necessarily provided. It doesn't look like it's intentional, but they just didn't cover the level of detail that you might need to have a better understanding of what's going on.
And we're at 0 momentum right now?
That is correct.
All right, so I will spend a threat for a 3rd dice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, this isn't engineering, so bold engineering doesn't make it. Neither does procedural compliance. However, an 8, a 1, and a 6, so that's 4 successes.
Excellent.
I will bank the extra momentum, and with intense, with the bonus momentum, I will try to get extra information on exactly where the various teams are.
Okay. You have all the locations. You will be able to successfully beam them out. Only one team would present a significant challenge. That is because they are physically using where they are. The structure is actually collapsing. And if you can envision the trash compactor scene, they are actually holding things in place to hold it. If they start to dematerialize and everything falls too quickly, that could get messy on the receiving end. That's going to be a challenge.
All right.
So, everybody else is easy. You basically just have to go there and beam them. There's room to beam them to this ship directly without a challenge. But it can get that last team, there wouldn't be room for them unless you were going to beam folks here, beam folks out, and then beam in the last team here.
Yes, do that.
Okay. In that process, that will add time to it. So basically, first beam out, no challenge. Second beam out, no challenge. You're zeros on both of those. You don't even have to roll. The third beam out, the third team is going to be a 1. The fourth is going to be a 2. The fifth is going to be a 3. 4, tell you what, then. And 5. And there's room for two teams. There's basically you have room on this ship for two teams at a time. Or you could beam site to site, but this shuttle's not really great at that. Mm-hmm. And to do that would create a 5 complication range.
All right, let's go ahead and do the first option.
Okay.
There is the option of just trying to hold the teams in a transporter buffer, but doing that on a new strange shuttle I haven't worked with before, I'm not sure I want to try that. The other option is jettison the cargo and keep them in the cargo bay, but...
That cargo is what you need to actually fix the station in time.
Yeah, I know. All right. So our first challenge, then, is difficulty what?
The first two groups get to you and get off no problem at all. Yep, one of those two teams is the team that was terrible. The next team is a difficulty 1.
All but right.
But I'm going to spend a little threat here. I'm going to add a trait here.
Okay.
They are very nervous, so they're moving around. They're scared, so they're not being very still, which is making it a little more difficult. So that's actually going to be a 2 on this first one.
All right. First of all, I have transporters and replicators as a focus.
Yep.
And then I'm going to buy a dice with a threat for 3 dice. Procedural compliance will give me one automatic success with the dice.
Yep.
And daring engineering, since this is a rescue.
Yep.
All right. There was not an extended complication range?
Not on this one, no.
All right. So I got a 4 and 18, so that's 2 successes. I'm going to go ahead and reroll the 18.
Okay.
A 4 and a 5, so that's 3 success, 4 successes total.
Okay.
And with the bonus momentum from intense, I'm going to reduce the time on this.
All right, excellent. So by reducing the time, the next beam group will stay at a 1 difficulty, because basically it's just getting more difficult as time goes. That you'll be able to keep that down. You have 4 momentum. That gives you a total of 6, and that would leave you with 2 that has to be spent. You can bank 2, and then you'd have 2 for an immediate.
All right.
And actually, I should actually roll for Brazig for the ship also. So let me do that. That would be a computer engineering for the beam out. That's a 3, so that's going to count. And it's a ship, so it counts as having a focus. So that is actually going to be 2 more successes. So you actually have 4 total for immediate spends.
Wow. All right. So difficulty 1, which quite honestly I can get with procedural compliance, and then if I spend 1 for to drop the time on that, and then let me spend 2 momentum to create a trait. I'm going to call it in the group.
All right.
Where Brazig and I, with having gotten 3 teams, I feel like it's 3 teams out now, or 4
yep.
teams. He and I have gotten into a momentum.
All right.
Which is making things easier.
All right.
That work for you?
That works for me. So that's going to reduce everything by 1. Your time reduction on that one reduces the first one by 1 prior to. So your next group is a 1 challenge. The group after that is a 3, and the group after that is a 4.
Okay.
And you still have 2 momentum to spend.
All right. Next one is 1 momentum. So I will spend 1 momentum for an extra dice, giving me 3. Procedural compliance will give me 1 automatic success, so I can roll 2 dice.
Oh, before that, you still have 2 bonus momentum to spend.
Oh. Tell you what, 2 momentum, swift action, I can perform an additional major action.
Okay.
So why don't I do that to do another beam out?
All right. All right, there's only 2 teams left. Your difficulties are 3 and 4. All bonus momentum is spent.
All right, so we just have those two remaining, right?
Correct.
We have how many momentum total?
Six momentum, six threat.
All right. Whew. Then let me spend two momentum, one threat for two extra dice.
All right.
And procedural compliance will give me that one extra success.
All right.
And 2, 12, and 19. So that's a total of four successes.
All right.
And then again, I will use the bonus momentum from intense to drop the time on this.
Okay. All right.
Tell you what, let me reroll the 19. I'll gamble on this.
All right.
11, that's an additional success.
Okay.
Then let me spend two momentum to continue the in the groove trait.
All right.
And this next, this last one is a difficulty 4, right?
It was. It has actually been reduced. You are at a 2.
Reduced to 3. Oh, 2?
It was reduced to 3. It's now at a 2. And the next one is a 1. And you have you still have 3 bonus momentum.
All right. Then let me spend 2 of them to do a...
You can bank 2, by the way. You that is also an option. But
since we're in a hurry, let me bank 1 of them. And spend 2 to get an extra major action.
Yep. And get the next group out?
Yes.
All right, you have 1 group left. Because you've saved time, that is a 1.
Difficulty 1?
Yep, you have 6 momentum. There is 6 threat. However, I am going to spend 2 of those threat. Because as you're doing this, coming out of warp, there is a ship. There is a second ship that is now joining them. They are amalgams of ships. They're weird. They don't look like any one thing. They're kind of all over the place, and they have not hailed at all. In this moment, the action is yours. You see these two ships show up.
Are they kind of like those ships that we had to repair? That Glenn shot the warp drive off of in that one adventure?
No, they are... I would say they're very much like Frankenstein ships in that they're just pieces of other things kind of put together.
Ignore them for now. You said, and this one was a difficulty 1 because of all of the... Then I will just take the procedural compliance to take the 1 success and beam them in.
Okay. You still have to roll when you do that, though.
Okay. So you have a 20. Yep. That's a 12.
Excellent. So you are successful. You get 1 momentum, and that group is beamed. They are on your ship, however. That last group is on your ship. And they are thankful, and then you notice... One, that dome collapses where the last group was, and nobody was extra injured at that point. You are hailed. Brazig puts it on screen and is a pack led.
Oh, good God.
You are on my rock station. Give me it. Belongs to me. Fermanaut, I want it, I demand it, and I will take it from you.
I'm spending 2 threat, and Brazig's cousin and all of the teams that were on the station are beamed to the pack-led ship. And that's the end of that scene.
I would not be worried if I hadn't watched Lower Decks.
When we come back from commercial break, you are looking at the screen. You've got a team of engineers. And you have Brazig, and you are sitting there watching it, and he goes, I own everything near Rock Station. Now I take you too. But before he can do that, Brazig hits a button, and the computer on his brand new shuttle says, transport inhibitors engaged. They won't be doing that here.
I will actually go and I'll look at Brazig, since you want to put the shields up just in case they decide to start firing.
Good call. He raises shields, adding threat. We are currently at 5 momentum, 3 threat.
Did they transport everyone out of the station?
Just the engineering teams. Basically, they were already on pads, so they just took people who were on the pads. And Ferbernard says,
"We will take everybody. Either give us station, or we take everybody. What say you?"
"Look over, Brazix. It's your station."
He puts it on mute. "I'm a freighter captain. I haul things and guests and people. This seems much more like a Starfleet thing to me." And I didn't ask, are you in your uniform or are you in civilian attire?
Probably in civilian attire.
Okay.
Look, I'm going to say, how many more cases of the 50 have you got?
Any more coming out of my cousin's stash.
I'm good with that.
You pick the number.
I think one extra case will do for now. Depends on how annoying they get.
I love the way you lowball.
If they start firing, it'll be more.
Let's hope they don't do that.
You have registered this with the local government authorities, right?
The station? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit there, compose myself, hail the packlids. This is Lieutenant Ovidian Tanari of the United Federation of Planets.
You don't look like United Federation of Planets.
The antenna says otherwise.
You look Andorian.
Yes.
You're not all United Federation of Planets. I met one that worked with Klingons.
Point to the... at least I'm wearing the comm badge. Point to the comm badge.
Oh! Badges? We have lots of badges!
And he flares his jacket, and he's got badges from all kinds of polities. There's even one that says Wingstop on it.
Those are very nice badges.
I know!
In any case, we'd like to find a solution for this.
Oh, I like solutions. How about you give to me?
There seems to be an issue in that this is a properly registered claim with the United Federation of Planets.
We don't recognize Federation of Planets. We recognize them, we see them, we know what they are, but we don't know.
You've already admitted you recognize the Federation.
I know who you are.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I want to do what you say.
Well, tell you what. We can discuss this like civilized people. Why don't we all beam down to the station? We can discuss it over some Ractogeno. We can all take a look at the appropriate documents.
No like documents. And Ractogeno bad for heart rate. I healthy pack-led boss. No Ractogeno, no road bacon, no bucket Romulan ale.
Maybe we can get some fruit juice.
He looks back at his second, who's on a thing, just dumbfounded by the conversation.
You like fruit juice? I love fruit juice.
We've got some in some boxes.
Wait, we can replicate fruit juice. We don't need your fruit juice.
But we would be giving you the fruit juice so you wouldn't have to use your replicators. It's a sign of respect.
So you respect Pack-Led Boss?
Of course we respect Boss. You have all those badges.
More badges. Better Boss. Your fruit juice? What fruit?
What kind would you like?
We replicate lots of fruits.
Look over at Brazig, said Brazig. Do you have any Tula Berry?
As a matter of fact, he hits another compartment and another thing, kind of like the ale bottles, another compartment comes up and there's a fair amount of Tula Berries. I am spending Brazig's 2 personal momentum to create that as a thing. And you have, and basically each bottle that you see there would represent a lot of Tula Berries.
Okay.
Juice.
We have Tula Berry juice, fresh from the Gamma Quadrant.
And Brazig says, and that's actual fresh squeezed. Not from concentrate.
You like juice. But your people are smart. We took the smart ones. We want them for our mine.
Did you ask them if they wanted to work on your mine?
No, we took them. This is our mine. They work there already.
But they're under contract to this man, meaning they belong to this man, not the mine. You accuse these people of stealing your mine, but you stole this man's workers. Tell you what, let's beam down to the station. We can have some nice tulipberry juice, and we can discuss it.
I'm not a thief.
Okay.
I'm a good boss, but I need smart people.
Okay.
I make you a deal.
Can we discuss it on the station in person? It would be much easier.
No! Our transporter's broke. That's why I need smart people. One of them works, one of them doesn't. I don't like it. I don't like you. It's risky.
You can certainly land.
No! I make deal here and now. Here's okay. Deal. You give me 5 smart people, we'll go find our own mine. And we'll leave you this one that don't work. I see how you broke it.
Can you give me a moment to talk with my compatriot?
Can you send over my cousin first? We'll send over one bottle of the juice. Good faith. Okay. That exchange gets made. So you've got Jorkin, Brazig, and yourself. Comms visually are on, but audio is off.
Right. Turn my back to the screen. So, what are you thinking? They're your workers under your contract. Technically, I just put myself here as a member of the Federation as an intermediary. We're technically we're outside Federation space, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're outside Federation space, so I don't have a whole lot of legal jurisdiction.
Look, a couple of those jokers aren't even any good at what they do. If they only want 5, I say we ask them if they want a job over there. As long as they're willing to go, then they work for them and we don't have to worry about them.
That's certainly reasonable, especially if they're willing to go. You can certainly act as a agent to negotiate their price. The price not only of the contract for you to sell them their contract, but to negotiate their payment, their salary. And of course, as that agent, you would get a percentage of their salary.
Brazig says, to the business, correct? Of course it's to the business. So let me get this straight. We get paid for the contract. We get to negotiate their payments from them to that, from the packlets to the workers. And as long as the workers want to go,
right,
we get all of the payment. We get a percentage of their contract, of the individual contracts.
For a certain amount of time, yes.
And it's all and legal and the Federation will be cool with it?
As long as the workers agree to it as well.
You looks can like our, it, looks like our workers are about to get a 200% increase in their pay!
You know, also, if you really want to make the Federation happy, you could put a couple phrases in there about conditions that they work under to make them comfortable.
And if they're buying their contract, we can limit the time so that they can renegotiate or go home whenever they want.
Correct. Which also makes the Federation happy, because the Federation, speaking as a Federation representative, we very much encourage the empowerment of workers to have a choice.
If this goes well, other than this one, I may get out of the mining business and just get into agent negotiations. I might as well get into movie business or something. Hollow movies and talent.
I'll be honest, there was a time on Earth, a lot of people who got into the agent business made a lot of money.
Okay. I say, we'll do it. And at this point, you're the Federation representative. You're going to draft they'll negotiate. They figure out all the bells and whistles, but you're going to draft the legalese to make sure that all the workers' rights are properly protected.
Mm-hmm.
To include the ability to send regular communications to their home worlds or to other folks, and specifically access to specific channels at Aslan Station, so that they're covered and their rights are safe and protected. But to make sure that all of that slides by and the packlets don't balk at any of that,
you're going to have a 4 challenge.
Okay.
And this would be a... likely this would end up being, depending on whatever attribute you feel works best, but I definitely think it would fall under command.
Presence command would be the obvious one. I'm not sure I can swing daring command on this.
Overall, it's a bold plan, but yeah. We're talking about the drafting of a document. I don't think daring really, you know, that would be daring.
I think if we're in the actual negotiations, the daring could come in.
Yeah.
Not drafting the document. Does my trait medal of the diplomacy medal of distinction come in and help at all?
I would absolutely say yes. Basically, well, as you're drafting the doc, the idea is that you've talked about that, you are known, so they recognize that you're a person with clout, and the fact that you said, "Of course, we recognize you," and actually, in a way, said that he has more badges than you, so he's obviously more important than you. So if you have a level of importance and you've said that he is more important, this is a pack-led commander who is pretty high on himself and thinks who likes you a lot more simply because you have said that you are more than he than you.
WWTD, what would Tobor do?
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, the challenge itself would be a 4, but you definitely, that trait will reduce it, so you're at a 3.
Okay. All right. How many momentum do we have?
You have 5 momentum. I have 3 threat. I am going to spend 2 to increase the complication range to 19.
All right. I am going to spend 3 momentum and 3 threat to get 3 extra dice.
All right.
And can I use my composure focus?
Yes.
All right. Now, just so you know, my presence plus command is a 10, which is one reason I'm spending to get so many dice.
Yep.
All right. A 6, a 4, and a 4. So that's 3 successes.
Yep.
And a 19.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Success so, plus a complication. I'm on brand.
All right. That's so you got the 4. You have the complication. Brazig is going to roll to see if he can help as well. Brazig is going to be using insight and security. He's just looking to make sure there are no weird loopholes. Brazig gets a 3. He does close a couple loopholes that you left, so those are taken care of, and the specific complication in this particular case is you have one worker who does not want to go.
Okay.
So you are one worker shy. None of the other workers want to go at all, but on this team, while they're not very good at their jobs, they also recognize that they're not good at their jobs. They're never going to get like double or triple the money for their work for any length of time. So you've got one worker who won't go, which leaves you shy one person. And so you are in a situation where you might have to convince that worker that it's in his best interest. He's basically holding out because he doesn't like the money enough.
I guess we can get me and Brazig to kind of double team him. My God, I hate doing this to a fellow engineer, even if he's not that good. But basically to convince him that part of the deal was that these guys are getting 200% of the pay that they normally get, right?
Correct.
That basically they are not going to get this deal anywhere else.
Nope. This is the one who's dumb enough to think they're worth the 200%. He's actually holding out for more money. The Packleds are not likely to give more money. You know that. Mm-hmm. So if there's more money, it's got to come from somewhere. And by the way, these are 2-year contracts.
Mm-hmm. Kind of go over to Brazig. Have you got anything to sweeten the deal just a little bit?
He looks at the lots of 50-year that he was giving to you. And he says,
That's about the amount we're talking about.
Go over, put my arm around Ferengi. Buddy, tell you what. You take this job, and there's a case of 50-year-old Andorian ale in it for you.
What label?
Tell him the label.
He looks in the air, rubs his lobes a little bit, rubs his lobes a little bit more. And when my contract's done, you'll hire me on civilian operator for the Federation?
I'll put in a good word with you with Commodore Pritchard.
Not good enough. I don't know him. I know you. I'll take your word, Starfleet. I'll take your word. You'll hire me, or you'll get me hired.
This is how you get hired as a civilian, is that I give you a recommendation to my higher-ups.
Within 6 months of my contract being done, you will have me hired for another 2-year contract, or you'll owe me the 2-year contract. At this point, you can give in to his demands, or you can roll to convince him something else.
Let me roll to convince him something else.
All right.
This one I think I can use daring on.
Absolutely.
So daring command. What's the difficulty?
Difficulty on this is a 2. No complication.
All right. And how many momentum have I got left? I will spend 1 momentum, 2 threat, and again, can I use composure?
Yep.
So daring command. Oh my god. 6 successes.
Good lord.
5 successes. That's a 15. 2-2 and an 8, and my command is 2.
The minimum would be just the case of ale, and you can convince him of what you want.
Yeah, I'll get him for the minimum, the case of ale. But actually, I will write the letter of recommendation for him for Commodore Pritchard. I think I owe him that. I'm Starfleet. I'll give him the letter of recommendation, I'll write it for him, and I'll give it to him.
All right. And he signs on the dotted line, the contracts are set, the pack leads allow them to get any personal effects, everything's all set, it's all taken care of. As we wrap that scene, the pack lead boss leaves and gets ready to leave. He signs off by saying, "Tanari of Starfleet, you dress better than your friends, and I have more badges than you. But you should tell Starfleet to give you more badges. You'd be very good. Almost boss."
"You do me great honor, boss."
And then he beams over the largest, obnoxiously large hat you've seen in recent history. "Packlet boss out." And they fly off at warp. I think Jim Johnson will be very happy with that. Yes, as the Denimata, all of this, you are successful in getting things up and running. The inspection will happen on time. You have everything to standard before the inspection happens. And with that, you will be, everything will go. As you leave and you, with Brazig on the shuttle, you get a first look at Brazig's new ships. One of them is a better version of the style of freight ships you have seen before.
Nice.
It is huge. It is a class 6 starship for size. So many decks, covers many.
6 is galaxy class, right?
6 is galaxy class, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a galaxy class size freighter. And those containers, it has the same time. It just has multiple. Its freight capacity, the shuttle you have has 1 large container. This carries 24 of those containers. And some of them are more permanent than others because some of them can be used for additional crew capacity and additional things like that. But it is a very large craft, and they are excited. Brazig is excited to show you that. In addition to that, he shows you what is newly constructed, his brand new ship.
Ooh.
This also has a freight capacity. It can carry 1, 2, 3, 4 of those containers as well. And it has very powerful impulse engines. And its nacelles are, this is designed so it can go at higher warps. So it can reach that subspace
destroy the Warp 5 barrier without breaking Starfleet. It has the ability to do that. It has a brand new design. It has elements of Ferengi design. It has elements of Andorian design, and it has elements of Klingon design, and yet the container areas and the connections with those also have elements of Zindi design to them. So it's a nice amalgam ship, and you notice that when you get to that way station, that it is being built on a shipyard that has been constructed in this area. So there is actually a shipyard that is able to turn out the freighter ships and those. And Brazik says, I've been busy this year.
I've noticed. I'm impressed.
I've turned all my profits into getting a shipyard here. My cousin's mine is going to give me the dilithium to be able to fuel anything that we build here.
You know, you need to be talking with the Commodore.
Yeah. At some point. Our deal, he knows, he has access to know what's being done here. We're not hiding anything. I'm worried, though.
Okay.
If everything is going elsewhere, and we're the only game in town, somebody's going to want to come and play in this game.
The feeling that if something's going too well, the other shoe's going to drop before too long?
The double wheel always spins, and somebody always loses.
Believe me, I know that feeling.
But we have wins today.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to what we were talking about. And with that, the credits begin to roll. He has a hologram Dabo wheel show up, and he's pointing out to you where the green box is, and he starts showing you some things on the Dabo wheel. And he and you laugh. He says, oh, and he hits another button. And he's, I had one left. And he cracks open a 50-year, has two nice glasses, and pours one for each of you. He raises a glass. Clink.
Cheers.
It's a good starship design, good beverage, and great Dabo. With that, we're going to call this one to an end. And I didn't mention it at the top of the episode, but I'm going to mention it now. Josh and I run and build a lot of neat stories based on things that we want to do with the overall story of Star Trek Preservations in conjunction with talking with our players and the things that they want their characters to be a part of and do. This came from my interview with Dave earlier about wanting to get some more time and game time with he and Brazig. And I thought that this was a vignette that I had built most of this episode around, was that Brazig Tenari time, because I thought that those are a good mix of fun characters. Who knows, someday maybe somebody will run a game that I can play Brazig and Dave can continue to play Tenari and we can have some crazy fun. But that wasn't everything that was in this episode. And I want to shout out where the A plot technically came from, because I actually wrote the B plot, which was the Tenari and the preservation stuff that was kind of happening in the background. But the idea of the Pakleds, the idea of the dilithium mine, the family member who and the bequeathal of the station and what that was all about, I did not come up with that in my own brain. That actually came from the mission brief packet known as Trade Ledgers, written by Michael Desmuke. And specifically, this is the mission known as Game Masters Who Plays STA. If you're ever looking for something to fill in your plot, or if you didn't have time to prepare whatever you're doing for your home game, mission brief packets are the way to go. If you have a bunch of players who have not shown up, this is a great way to bring in one or two of your players and give them a mission. They've got things by engineers, by commanders, by security, whatever. Any role you can think of, there's all kinds of them. I have every one of the free mission briefs and most of the ones that you pay for, because they are instrumental to my ability to fill in a good story. They provide the basis for me to do the kind of story I want, where the plot is important and it's enjoyable, but the idea is really to give the characters a vehicle to shine and sprinkle in stuff for your greater story. So I love mission briefs. Thank you, Michael Desmuke, for your work on this one. It's actually the third Trade Ledgers mission I've run in my time. I love this pack. It's really good. And thank you, Jim Johnson. The fact that this had pack leads and I got the opportunity to shout you out was everything for me. I love it. And hey, big boss, big hat. That's the way it is around here. A lot of fun. Dave, thanks again for joining me today. We planned for just you and I in this session today. This was not other folks didn't show up. This was by design. I'm glad that we were able to have some fun. I hope it was fun for you as well.
It was a ball. Thank you for running.
Absolutely. I will talk to you later. Folks, we will talk to you later. IDICU.